I'm Shane Sklar with El Toro Farms in Edna, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
The cattle disease, commonly referred to as trick, can cause significant losses for ranchers. I'm James Hunt, and coming up on Texas Ag Today, we'll talk about Texas Tech research that is looking for ways to help control trick.
How can the H-2A guest worker program be improved? Well, a new report outlines 15 recommendations. I'm Jessica Dolmel, and I'll have those recommendations coming up on Texas Ag Today.
This is James Duncan in Marshall, and this week we're going to talk a little bit about when I was a teenage boy for just a moment and the resurgence of the poultry industry in a little different fashion, and also the fact that beef cattle producers are very anxious and watching the market every day.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Planters continue to roll across Texas as farmers get the 2024 crop in the ground. Kevin Meeks is an agronomist and product specialist for Helena Agri Enterprises. He's based in the San Angelo, Abilene area of the state.
So we've got a lot of guys. We're kind of in the middle of top dressing our winter wheat, spraying for weeds. We're on the borderline of being dry, I would say. There around San Angelo, as you go north, you know about the devastating wildfires up north. But through the Panhandle, I think those guys are considering taking their wheat to grain, especially if we can get a little bump in the price. I think that would help convince a little bit, or they're going to leave it for cover. Down here in the central part of the state, on the way down to commodity, I passed some planters rolling. I know guys are planting corn hot and heavy, and then here in a couple weeks, they'll be planting cotton.
This week's Texas Crop Progress and Condition Report shows 20% of the corn crop is in the ground, with 18% of the sorghum planted. A professor at Prairie View A&M has been awarded more than $50,000 for an organic cotton project.
According to the university, Dr. Ram Ray has been awarded the grant funding by USDA's National Institute of Food Agriculture through Texas A&M AgriLife. His project aims to foster the development and enhancement of organic farming techniques, assess the potential economic advantages for organic farming, identify key marketing and policy obstacles, conduct on-farm research and development, and develop new and improved seed varieties specifically for organic farming. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Some Texas rice farmers aren't very optimistic heading into this 2024 crop year. Kerry Abney is a rice farmer in Jefferson County in southeast Texas. He says there are just too many headwinds facing rice farmers right now.
Well, the 24 crop, it's just, we've got a lot of rain, it's wet, but the last 2 years we've had either rain or drought, and the rice was off grade a little bit, and prices is, not as good. So price of equipment and everything else is going up, and price of grain don't follow that price, and so it's just getting tougher, and equipment is so expensive nowadays, it's hard to keep up with the times.
Jefferson County is usually one of the wettest counties in Texas, but last year they endured extreme drought and were one of the driest counties in the entire state. The cattle disease trichomoniasis, or trick, can cause significant losses for ranchers. James Hunt tells us about some research that's looking for ways to control trick.
Today, we begin a series on important research being conducted by Texas Tech University. Leading this study is Jennifer Kozul with the Texas Tech School of Veterinary Medicine in Amarillo.
I have a grant from the American Association of Bovine Practitioners looking at Trichomonas fetus, which is a sexually transmitted disease in cattle. And so that project is looking at ways that we can help improve the diagnostic ability of our veterinarians. So looking at different testing types that we can do, different protocols for shipping the test to the laboratory for extensive laboratory testing, and really thinking about how we can better identify this disease to help control it. As most of our cattle producers know, that it is a concern in Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, this state, and all of the surrounding states, really. There's quite a few positive animals every year that cause a really big economic impact.
And they cause an economic impact because?
Because when we find a positive bull, those are absolutely going to be culled because there's no treatment. Cows will often abort or have a stillborn calf, so we lose the economic side from loss of production from the cow. The good thing about our cows is they will often clear the infection, whereas our bulls will never. So often we can keep cows within the herd if they become pregnant. However, if they are not pregnant at the end of the breeding season and we find them open, we definitely need to call those as well.
More from Dr. Jennifer Kozul on the research into controlling trich in our next report. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
A new report outlines ways to improve the H-2A guest worker program. Jessica Domel takes a look at those recommendations.
A new report from the Bipartisan Agricultural Labor Working Group outlines the workforce issues farmers and ranchers across the nation face, and also outlines some of the policy recommendations that can be used to fix the flaws in the H-2A program. The H-2A program is a non-immigrant guest worker program for temporary and seasonal agricultural workers. The report includes 15 recommendations that the working group, comprised of members of the House Ag Committee, unanimously agreed to. Those recommendations include establishing a new streamlined H-2A application processing system through the creation of an internet-based electronic portal, allowing employers seeking H-2A workers to submit staggering date of entry applications to streamline the process, allowing farmers and ranchers to file job postings on an electronic registry rather than only filing in a newspaper, considering permanently waiving the in-person interview requirement for returning H-2A workers, expediting review of delayed H-2A worker applications, requiring the Department of Labor to consult with the Department of Agriculture before publishing a rule making changes to the H-2A program, requiring reports from the Government Accountability Office on the H-2A program, allowing for flexibility in the H-2A wage calculation, eliminating mid-contract wage adjustments, creating a federal heat standard for workers, and wage reform. House Agriculture Committee Chair G.T. Thompson said he and Ranking Member David Scott hope this suite of policy recommendations can be a roadmap to legislative solutions that protect workers and ensure a safe farm work environment while addressing the agricultural labor crisis. John Walt Boatwright, Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation, said if action is not taken on the H-2A program, we're going to see more and more family farms go out of business.
Well, our calls for Congress have been to act now on this issue. We're seeing family farms, because of the recent flurry of rulemaking coming out of Department of Labor and other agencies, we're seeing family farms go quickly out of business or perhaps shift to less labor intensive, more mechanized crops. This is having a fundamental harrowing effect on our farm families who have used and turned to the H-2A program as a last resort. So our hope is that Congress acts as soon as possible to really address this ag labor crisis.
The full report is available on the House Ag Committee website. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Poultry production is expanding in East Texas. James Duncan has this update from Marshall.
In East Texas, when I was a teenage boy, back in the 50s, we had broiler houses on small farms that would house about 3,000 broilers at a time. Today, we see one house that is a 4-acre incubation for production 10 times what we did in the 50s. It's all bigger, better, and more efficient, and we will meet the demand for poultry products with the producers following behind the big plant. We have some new houses being built here in the East Texas area. Really amazing the efficiency that we've gotten into in the poultry industry, and this is going to mean a lot for our broader production. It's going to mean more houses, more opportunity for people to be involved in the production, and we can supply the need for our nation hungry for poultry products, whatever they are, fried chicken, chicken nuggets, and we see an enthusiasm for it right here in the East Texas area. So we'll just watch this in the future. As we talk a good bit about beef cattle industry on this show also, and it's one of the major contributors to income in many counties, and we are really excited right now. The cattle producers are watching that market every week, with cows bred bringing up to $2,000, cow-calf pairs bumping up there to $2,750 to $2,900. It gets their blood pumping and excited about the industry and actually the future of it. With everything else that is going on today, we got sunshine, water, and we've got grass. That bodes well for the producers. Watching the market very close and learning better how to market their cattle. This is James Duncan reporting from East Texas for Texas Ag Today.
Training future pediatricians for better understanding about nutrition. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and we'll have more from the Dell Medical School Culinary Medicine Program in Austin on Texas Ag Today.
And there are many equine muscle diseases that impact a horse's performance. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
Broadcasting from a padded room in the basement of the Texas Farm Bureau World Headquarters. Here's Carrie Martin with more Texas Ag Today.
Future nutritionists are being instructed in culinary medicine. Tom Nicoletti has more.
My guest today is Kelly Hawthorne. She is the co-director of the Dell Med School Culinary Medicine Program in the Department of Pediatrics at the University of Texas in Austin, and that's where she joins us today. And Kelly, explain how this program works and who's being taught what.
It's a new program that we have at the Dell Med School, and we are targeting both medical students and also our pediatric residents and fellows. And those are folks who have finished medical school, and they are still in training. They're doctors, but they're in training to become future pediatricians. So they're specializing in that. And what we're doing is helping to train these future doctors so that they have a better understanding about nutrition and cooking skills for themselves and for them to talk to their patients. What we look at is reports that say that up to 75% of doctors out there say that they don't get enough nutrition training in their education and that they're not confident in talking about practical nutrition topics with their patients. However, they're still the number one resource that patients go to as their healthcare provider and trusted resource for all healthcare needs, including nutrition. So what we're trying to do here at the Dell Medical School is to bridge that gap.
Approximately how many students are in the program currently?
We've got 75 future pediatricians, and they're in a three-year program, and we do one module per semester. We've covered various topics. We started with a general pediatric topic that covered starting solids and picky eaters and school-age children. We've done fad diets. We've done weight maintenance and pediatric obesity, a module on eating disorders. Next, we're going to cover food allergies.
That is Kelly Hawthorne with the Dell Medical School Culinary Medicine Program at the University of Texas in Austin. I'm Tom Nicoletti with the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
There are many equine muscle diseases that impact a horse's performance. Dr. Bob Judd explains how to test for some of these diseases.
Dr. Stephanie Wahlberg discussed muscle diseases at the AAEP convention, and one test you can do is taking the tip of a blunt instrument and slide the tip of the instrument over the horse's back and hips. This maneuver in a normal horse should cause the horse to extend the back like a swayback horse and then arch the back as you get to the lower back and hip area. If this does not occur, back pain may be present. If muscle problems are suspected, a blood chemistry panel containing the test for CK and AST can be diagnostic for muscle disease. If these values are normal, an exercise test can be helpful by exercising the horse and rechecking the blood in 4 to 6 hours after exercise. Horses with poor muscle mass can have neurological disease as well as muscle disease, so a neurological exam should be performed. Acute muscle pain is usually related to exercising the muscle above the level of conditioning. Also, muscle spasms can occur, and in both of these conditions, the CK and AST levels are usually normal. Muscle pain after exercise is called exertional rhabdomyolysis, and this is a chronic problem. The disease is called recurrent exertional rhabdomyolysis. There are multiple genetic diseases that can cause muscle disease, including polysaccharide storage myopathy type 1, polysaccharide storage myopathy type 2, and malignant hyperthermia in quarter horse-related breeds. Arabian horses have a form of myofibrillar myopathy that can occur after an endurance ride or even several weeks later. This syndrome can also occur in warm bloods. It is important to know that there are multiple genetic muscle diseases that can occur in horses. So if your horse has chronic muscle pain, testing is required to confirm the diagnosis.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how our markets wrapped up on Friday. We saw cattle futures move into positive territory from the get-go and stayed that way all day long Friday. We wrapped it up with live cattle slightly higher. April contract was up 30, 187.25. June up 22 at 183.60, with August live cattle up 52 cents, 182.62. Feeder cattle gained ground as well. March feeders up $1.80, $2.49.27. April up 95 cents, $2.52.12. With May feeder cattle up $1.17, $2.56 even. Cash fed cattle sales. As of Friday afternoon, we saw sales here in the Southern Plains at 186. That's a dollar higher compared to the previous week. In the Northern Plains, we saw sales on a live basis 187 to 190. Dressed sales range from 295 to 301. Boxed beef was higher, choice up 74 cents, 311.52, select up 66 at 302.35. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Jody Fry, producers in Cargyle, San Angelo. How was your Thursday sale?
925 head. Better quality steers, 400 to 600 pounds from 250 all the way up to a high of near 375, mostly 270 to 315. 600 to 800 pound steers, 215 up to a high of 280, mostly 230 to 255. Heifer calves, 400 to 600 pounds, 225 up to a high of near 330, mostly 240 to 280. Slaughter cows, average to high yielding from 88 to 108. Still some of those very high-yielding slaughter cows from 110 to a high of 134. Thin are very low-yielding cows, including some of the longhorn cows from 60 to 85. Slaughter bulls today average to high-yielding from 115 to 130. Some of the very high-yielding slaughter bulls from 133 to that high of 166. And several bulls today that traded from 145 to 160. Bred cows and two-year-olds, just a few medium to heavy bred from 1,000 to 1,900.
What do you know of
kilo for next week?
Bouncing back from a big sheep and goat sale, about 8,400 was the two-day total. We've got cooler weather, chances of rain over the weekend. I do not foresee that being as big on Tuesday. We're getting into the season of Ramadan. There should be some lullness in the market. We thought lambs would be lower on Tuesday, but they were not. Had a very active market for the number of sheep and goats. It's really working out well. Cattle numbers, we've got that load of second calf cows coming next week with calves at side. They'll be pairs. They'll be good.
Tell everybody how to get a hold of you, Jody Fry.
You bet. Office numbers 325-653-3371. Mobile phones 234-7895.
Jody Fry, producers in Cargill, San Angelo, sells cattle every Thursday. Jody, thank you. And neighbor, thank you too for having a little bit of time with us today on Walking the Pens in the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. I'm Larry Marble. Good day.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market now. We're lean hogs. Took a sharp jump on Friday. April hogs were up $1.90, $86.92. May hogs up $1.57. $93.17. Class 3 milk was lower. March milk down 2 cents, 16.45 a hundredweight. April milk down 19 at 16.06 a hundred. Cotton closed higher. The latest U.S. drought monitor showing approximately 11% of the U.S. cotton area in drought conditions. Last year at this time, that area was roughly 46%. May cotton up 46 points, closing at 93.94. July up 33, 93.59, while new crop December cotton was up 25 points, 83.68 cents. Corn closed higher. Thursday's weekly export sales report showed export shipments up 32% from a year ago, well above USDA's estimated pace. May corn up 3 cents, 4.36 and 3 quarters. July corn up 2 and 3 quarters, 4.49, while September corn was up 2 and 3 quarters, 4.58 a bushel. Wheat closed lower in both hard and soft wheat. May Kansas City wheat down 8.5, 5.66 and a quarter. July down 8.25, 5.59 and three quarters. Soft wheat in Chicago, May contract down 3.75, 5.28.5, while July was down 3.25 at 5.44 a bushel. In the energy markets, April natural gas down 7, $1.66. April West Texas crude down 26 at $81 a barrel. In the financial markets, the Dow down 173 points, 38,732. The NASDAQ down 125, 16,002. With the S&P down 28, 5,121. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.